Bible Institute here years ago. I remember talking with Pastor Sal saying, "Pastor, I don't know what it is God would have for me." And he said, "Well, one day at a time, and he'll reveal himself to you." And I'll tell you, I've enjoyed each and every day. Luke chapter 2 tonight, and I'll try not to keep you too long. A couple problems we have. Number one, my watch broke yesterday, so I don't have a watch on, and there's no clock in the back. Problem number two, you have to listen to me without a watch. So I don't know how long I'll be, but I promise you I'll be finished as soon as I'm finished. So Luke chapter 2, and we'll give you another Christmas message tonight. I love Christmas. Don't you like Christmas? I like gifts. I like the food. I like the lights. And as Pastor John said the other night, I like Jesus. Amen. I do like him and I love him. And so we're gonna talk to you a little bit about Christmas and the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, we'll read one verse. And that's verse 11, and it says this: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Sal. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for a Savior. Ask, Lord, that you'd bless us tonight. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. You know, you never know what's going to happen when you get up in front of people. And I thought things were going pretty well. Amen. But we'll just continue. And before we do, I have a very, very special announcement to make before we get started here. And the announcement is this. It's a boy. It's a boy. Mary had a little lamb. Amen. And joy to the world, the Lord is come. Away in a manger, O little town of Bethlehem. Oh, if we had the birth certificate of Jesus, I think it would tell us some things tonight. And as a matter of fact, I do believe that the Scriptures are probably the closest thing to a birth certificate, wouldn't you say? And so let's just imagine for a few moments that we have the birth certificate of Jesus. This is a celebration because we need Jesus. And he literally came into this world. God himself was born into this world. Remember, shortly after I got saved, I was saved in October of 1997. October 21st, 1997. And so Christmas was soon on its way. And I remember being at work and they started to play Christmas music at my place of employment. And they were singing about Jesus Christ, my new found Savior. I mean, publicly proclaiming that the Lord had come. And I remember listening to that thinking, are you hearing this? Well, yeah, it's a Christmas carol. It's Christmas music, Matt. We hear this every year. And I said, no, are you listening? Do you really hear what they're saying? Jesus really came, I said. It's real. It's not just a religion. I mean, this stuff really happened. Jesus was God in the flesh. Some 2,000 years ago, he really came to this earth and he came to die for you and me. Well, let's just imagine the birth certificate here. Would you take a look with me at his name? His name. Now, one name is just not sufficient for our Savior. Amen. One name just will not do. But I think the Lord Jesus Christ is pretty good, don't you? The Lord, speaking of his divinity. I mean, he's God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus speaks of his humanity. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Jesus was the epitome of the Holy Spirit. If you wanted to learn about the Spirit of God, all you'd have to do is follow Jesus around. But we find that he has many different names in the Bible. So the birth certificate is a big one, okay? As a matter of fact, John put it this way. He said, if we knew everything that Jesus did, the world itself couldn't contain the books. And so one name just won't do. But that name is a powerful name, isn't it? I'm reminded in Acts chapter 3, Peter was walking along and he saw a lame man just laying there, just lame from his birth. And Peter said, he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk."
And he didn't just walk after that. He leaped. He started praising God and leaping. And you know where that comes from? The name. The name. In Acts chapter 16, Paul looked at a lady full of a devil, a demonic spirit, and he said, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out." And that same hour, because of the power behind that name, that demon came out of her. In Philippians chapter 2, God has given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And so his name is an amazing name. As a matter of fact, I think it's the sweetest name in the world. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 that his name shall be called Wonderful. He is full of wonder, isn't he? You know why his name is wonderful to me? Because his name is the name where I got amazing grace from. I mean, doesn't grace just blow your mind? The unmerited favor of God, grace, that's wrapped up in the name of Jesus, the name that's on this birth certificate. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. You know what that means? That means we can't lose our salvation. Our salvation is everlasting because He's the everlasting Father. Now, that's good news to me. I tell you why, because I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. If I could lose my salvation, I'd lose it every minute of the day, and so would you. He's my everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. That's the name of Jesus. Now, names are significant. And I would suggest to you that if His name isn't the sweetest name you've ever heard, then you need to get saved. I was thinking about my mom. We have four children. And our first child, we named her Rio. And my mom was asking us at that time before Rio was born, she said, "Well, what are you going to call her?" I said, "Mom, we're going to call her Rio." She said, "Rio? You can't name your daughter Rio. That means river. You can't have a daughter named River." And she said, "Oh, please, Matt, don't name her River. Don't name her Rio. You can't do that." And Rio was born. Yeah, you know what happens. And she's holding little Rio in her arms, and she's got her. She says, "Oh, Rio, Rio, that's the most beautiful name." Second daughter, we named her Rain. My mom said, "What are you going to name her?" "We're going to name her Rain." "You can't name her Rain." You know the story. Having little Rain on her knee. "Rain, rain, rain drop. Oh, that's the most beautiful name." You see, what happens is you associate that person, that name, with that person. And I'm just saying the sweetest name I know is Jesus. His name is wonderful. It's amazing. Well, let's look at the date of His birth. The date of His birth, it splits into all of history. B.C. and A.D. Before Christ and Anno Domino, or something like that. Domino, Latin for in the year of our Lord. You see, history is His story. I just got done teaching a 16-week course on church history. And what a history we have, especially as Baptists. But you know what history is? History is His story of His people. And it's a trail of blood going all the way back to the blood of Jesus Christ. But His story, I tell you, the date specifically is not important. We know it's not December 25th, but we know it happened. It happened. And you know, you have a date that you were born, and I have a date that I was born. But we also have another date. We have a date where it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You have a date where you're going to stand in front of Him. And I appreciate the message this morning about Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And he said in verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And so it is with us. We're not ready to die until we've seen the Lord. Amen. Eyes of faith. It's amazing that as parents in this world, we train our kids to live this life and to be successful in this life. And I think we've missed the mark. The key to good parenting is preparing our children for the afterlife, the one that really counts. And if you're here tonight and you've never seen Jesus Christ, you don't know Him, you are not ready to die. Oh, you don't want to die without seeing the salvation of the Lord, because hell is real, my friend. I wish hell was not in the Bible, but it's as clear as crystal in there. Jesus preached about hell all the time because He doesn't want people to go there. The date of His birth. Do you remember your BC before you met Christ? Remember how things were before you came to see the Lord and who He really is, and how things changed AD after that? Aren't you glad that Jesus makes a difference in your life? And He's not just a religion, He's a person. And He can live inside of you. And He can empower you. And He can change you. What a God we have. What a Savior we have. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our best days are ahead. Why? Because we met the Lord. You see, His name, the date of His birth, the time. You say, does the Bible say what time He was born? Oh, it does. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, you see, He was born exactly at the right time. The fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, God's time is perfect. God never loses His watch, like me. His watch doesn't break. He never loses the time. In Trinidad, they've lost the time. There is no time in Trinidad. I've had to condition the church not to show up all the way through the service. Some people will come at the very end of the service. As long as they're there, that's okay. Time doesn't matter. It's the event that matters to them. That's Caribbean lifestyle. It's not about the time. It's about the event. But God's never late. He's always exactly on time. As a matter of fact, He's very creative when it comes to time. You see, when you're in Christ and you get saved, I believe God is able to restore lost time in your life. And He's so creative at doing that. My wife, she always dreamed about being in broadcasting. And here she was at Hope Baptist Church in the back there doing the cameras. And she'd always say, man, this is a dream come true. God's so creative in how He can redeem the time. And I've always wanted to travel. I've always wanted to live in the Caribbean. And God will give you the desires of your heart. If you put Him first, I believe our God is creative and He's the master of time. Some of you might be here tonight and might think, man, my life is so mundane and just boring and I want to get more out of life. Well, Jesus is the one. You ought to take a look at His birth certificate. He's the one that said, I can give you abundant life. One key factor, faith. Sacrifice. God, I'm here. You made me. You created me. I belong to You. And by faith, I'm going to do anything You want me to do. I'll go anywhere You want me to go. I'll say anything You want me to say. Watch out. You're about ready to live an abundant life. Warning, beware. And I'm here to testify to that truth. The time. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Look at how God in His creativity can speed up time a little bit. I'm reminded in Joshua, He can actually stop the sun if He needs to. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there was sent out, or out of a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered. You see how God worked in His creativity? Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God has a way of working all things out for good, doesn't He? But the key is you got to love Him, and He's able to do that. His name, the date of birth, the time of birth. How about this? The place. the place. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says it would be in Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem means? It means the house of what? Bread. How fitting that our Savior, the one who actually said that He was the bread sent from heaven, was born in a place called Bethlehem, the house of bread. Now we learned this morning as well that they laid Him in a manger, in a feeding trough. Imagine that, that the place of our Savior's birth was a dirty place. And I think that's significant because I'm reminded that when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to meet Him in a dirty, stinky place as well. Your sin. A broken and contrite spirit. A repentance over your sin. Admitting, God, I'm a dirty sinner and I need grace. I need Your mercy and Your forgiveness. That's where we meet Him. In that dirty place. You say, well, that's not becoming of me. Well, then you'll never get saved. I think it was Tom Mulkey. He came up to me one service and he said, I got a title for a message for you. Meeting Jesus on Sesame Street. I said, that's right. It's a childlike faith. But not only that, you have to take sides with God against yourself in that dirty, rotten, sinful dungeon. You have to come to the end of your place and say, God, I'm no good and I need You. Hey, that's where Jesus was born. In that place. Where were you when you met Jesus? You remember? Boy, I tell you, I remember my kids where they were. Rio was in our living room. Rain was all by herself in the house. Sky was... You say, you got hippie names for kids. Yeah, I know. It's a long story. Sky was on a teen retreat not too long ago. By the way, God doesn't have grandchildren. You must be born again, not your parents. You got to be born again. Mateo, well, we're still working on him, amen? So just hang in there. But Mateo, where were you saved? He was saved at teen camp. How about that? I was saved in a church. Vicky was saved in a church. Where were you when you got saved? I can tell you one thing that we all have in common. It might have been a different geographical location, but the location was the same. It was in the filth of our sin. Saying, Jesus, I got nothing to offer You, but I've got my sin, and here You go, because the Bible says You came to save sinners, and here I am. Take a shot, and boy, He'll save you so fast your head will spin. Amen? The place. How about this? His parents. Well, we know Mary. She was a good, godly girl, but she wasn't good enough. Even she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, she needed a Savior. And we learned this morning, because I was paying attention, that Joseph was his, not his father. Amen. They're paying attention. I stumped them there, preacher, but his father was Jehovah, God. And so that's on the birth certificate here. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, Mary was the human, earthly mother of Jesus. And she was miraculously conceived with child. Remember talking to someone about this years ago. And I had a lady that was kind of eavesdropping on my conversation about the virgin birth. I don't remember who I was talking to. And she interrupted and she said, you're talking about blood and conception and how a child is formed. She said, I work in a lab here in Toledo. And you just kind of caught my ear with what you're talking about. And I work with some doctors and we do all kinds of stuff under microscopes and this and that. And I said, well, here's my question. Does the blood of, you know, a child being developed at conception, how does that child get its blood? It doesn't get it from the mother according to the Bible. And she said, that's really interesting. I'm going to go back to the lab and I'm going to ask the doctors that question. Where does the blood come from? Does the mother's blood ever affect or come into contact with the child's blood in the womb? And she came back and she said the doctors were just flabbergasted with that question. They were really intrigued with it. And she gave me a full printout of all the scientific data that they have that the mother's blood never comes in contact or gives her blood to the child. It's always from the father. And you see, that's why our Savior had to be virgin born. He didn't get His blood from Mary. Acts chapter 20 says His blood was God's blood. And so his parents, very mysterious here. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Boy, that's good news. That's good news. There was a Baptist preacher. He was praying about witnessing to Muhammad Ali. And he got some time with him before a fight. And Muhammad Ali said to this Baptist preacher, so you're telling me, preacher, that Jesus was the Son of God just because he was born of a virgin? And Muhammad Ali said, well, what about Adam? Adam had no earthly father or earthly mother. Wouldn't that make him even more the Son of God than Jesus? This preacher said, listen, champ, you got it all wrong. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. More like he was the Son of God, therefore he was born of a virgin. That virgin birth didn't make him the Son of God. He already was the Son of God. He's the I Am, even before Abraham. So his parents are very, very mysterious here. How about this? His weight. His weight. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll make our way over there. His weight. Can I tell you what his weight was? His weight was very, very heavy. Very heavy. Can I tell you why? Because the moment, the very second he was born into this world, he was carrying the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. Past sins, present sins, future sins, all on the shoulders of this little child they call Jesus. That's why he came. That's why he was born into this world. He was born to die for the sins of the world. Yet, himself, he never sinned one time. You see, that's some heavy stuff, isn't it? That God had to come here to rescue you and me. Remember knocking on the door of a Muslim. And he opened up the door and we began to talk about salvation in Jesus. And he said, yeah, but you believe Jesus was God in the flesh. He said, I can't wrap my mind around that. That doesn't make any sense. You know what that does for us? That causes us to plummet to the reality of our depravity. That God himself would have to come here to rescue us tells us how sinful we are. You see, the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. God had to come here, and that's big business. You know what that is? That's heavy. That's heavy. That causes us to take a step back and just say, I must be pretty bad if God had to come here and die for me. Yep, now you're getting it. That's some heavy stuff, isn't it? Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took your very sins upon himself. Heavy stuff. It really is. Kind of puts Santa Claus in his place, doesn't it? How about this? His length. Oh, his length. Look with me in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. His length, great. He went to great length to save you and me. I tell you, something that really kind of changed my life was going to the Creation Museum in Kentucky. Anybody been there? I would recommend it. And they have the planetarium there, where you're just sort of sitting back and you're looking at that big screen and you're looking at Earth and the stars and the solar systems and the super clusters and all the billions of galaxies, and you're just going back and back and back, and you realize how big this. You don't really realize it, but you kind of get impressed with how big the universe is. And then it zooms back in, and you're scratching your head thinking, this is just, I can't even wrap, I don't comprehend how big this universe is. And the Bible actually says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The reason why God made this thing so big is because it reflects Him. We got a big God, by the way. But not only that, it shows us the length that he went for you and me to come to this earth, to leave heaven, and to come all this way. You know what that is? That's the love of God. And we can't really wrap our minds around it, but I want to keep trying, don't you? God went to great lengths when he was born into this world for you and me. How about this? His blood type. You know what his blood type is? Holy. That's all it says right here. Holy. I mean, no AB or BA or whatever that stuff is. Just says holy. Holy blood. It wasn't determined by his mother or an earthly father. It's God's blood. It's a miraculous blood because it's the blood of God. The Bible says that it's precious. It's transferable to every person, and it can actually wash away your sins. Revelation 1:5. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's wonder, power working wonder in the blood of Christ, I'm telling you. It'll change you. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a holy blood type. It says here, birthmarks. Not one. Not one birthmark. He never sinned. He was absolutely perfect. The unblemished Lamb of God. But later on, he got some scars, the Bible says. And I think for all of eternity, he's going to keep those scars just to remind you and me of what he's done for us. No birthmarks. But, you know, those that are born into his family, boy, we've got some birthmarks, don't we? And we'll never forget those scars. And I think they're impressed upon our soul. Now, it says here, does he accept visitors? Yes, he does. He's invited all to come. The scriptures invite him to come. The Lord himself invites the Spirit and the bride. They say, come. Come visit the Lamb of God. Because he came for you. He came for me. And so this Christmas, you know, we might have our list. I've got mine. It's a big list. I got a lot of things I want. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the food. Oh, bring it on. Feasting is biblical. Amen. Nothing wrong with the gifts and charity and the lights and the holy weed in Toledo. You got to be careful how you phrase that, because people are going to take that to a whole new level. But there's nothing wrong with having your gift list. But how about if we put things in perspective tonight? What do you think is on the list of Jesus? I mean, it is his birthday that we're celebrating. I can't remember the last time I went to someone's birthday and I said, here's my list. I know it's your birthday, but this is what I want. Doesn't make sense, does it? Our God is so gracious. But what do you think would be on his list this Christmas? That he would say, it's my birthday, here's my list. Can I give you just a few ideas before we close? I think on his list he would say, you know what? For my birthday, I would like worship. Because the Bible says that he's seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. How about for this Christmas, we could just take it up a notch for our Savior? Isn't he worthy? I mean, just a whole new intensity and passion in our worship. To sing a little bit louder. To sing a little bit more from the heart. I think he would appreciate that gift. How about this one? Holiness. I think he'd say, I want some worship. I want some holiness. You say, well, Lord, you're already holy. And he'd say, yeah, but I'm living inside of you. And because I'm living inside of you, it just pleases me if you're holy because I'm holy. I think he would like that gift. I think he would like loyalty. Loyalty. That's what it means to be a disciple, by the way. You're dedicated. You're determined. I think he would say charity would be good. I would love you to love each other. That would be a wonderful gift you could give me for Christmas. Just love each other. Even the ones that, you know, aren't real lovable, go love on them. Get them a gift. And then I think lastly, he would say this. He'd say, you know, these are all good, but here's number one. This is the one thing that I want more than anything from you. And I think it would say this. I want you. I want you. I want your eyes and your ears, your mouth, your feet, your hands. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want your spirit. I want your body. I want you. He'd say, this is what I want for Christmas. Put it under the Christmas tree, if I can say that. You! You get down there. I want you for Christmas. By the way, that is what Christmas is all about. He came and He died and He purchased you. You belong to Him. Why don't you give yourself back to Him for Christmas? Remember, every gift that you open, open it with joy and anticipation. Rip it off. I mean, just go nuts. Enjoy. But every gift you unwrap, why don't you remember the unspeakable gift? Every gift that you get, why don't you just say, yeah, Lord, this is great, but really, I just want to give myself to You because I belong to You. The birth certificate of Jesus. Well, we don't really have one, but I think this does a pretty good job, don't you? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Would you bow your heads? Father, we thank You for the Word of God, for teaching us how much You love us, for teaching us who You are, where You were born, why You were born into this world, and what You can do for us. Every head bowed. I wonder if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, I've kind of gotten caught up in some of the bling and the lights and the gifts and the shopping and the traffic and the food. And I forgot that this Christmas, the one gift that God is really looking for is myself. Giving myself. If that's you, the altar is definitely open. You could come, present your body a living sacrifice, and never take it back. I'm sure the Father would be pleased with that gift. Preacher.